This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. Ivy Hilliard.
We're just going to read it. You will leave here tonight knowing where the plan is. It's going to take us the course of the seminar to actually explain the application of God's plan. All right, Genesis chapter 2, are you there? Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, the beast. I'm in chapter 1. Some good stuff in chapter 1, isn't it? All right. Verse 24. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and do what? And cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. Let me read that again. I'll go to verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave father and mother. Leave father and mama. Leave father and mama. Leave mama. Leave mama. Leave mama. Leave mama and cleave unto his wife. And cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Esther chapter 1. Just looking at God's plan. Now, this is going to be important because I want you to take this tape this week and listen to it. Just listen to this tape over and over, putting God's word in your mind, putting God's order in your mind. Amen. All right? Hallelujah. All right? Are you there in Esther? Esther chapter 1, verse 20. Esther. Where is Esther? Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Glory to God. All right. Amen, amen. Learned that in BYPU. Amen, amen. All right. Verse 20. All right. Verse 20 says, and when the king decreed, which he said, and when the king's decree, which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great. All the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. Woman honoring her husband. Honoring her husband. Honoring her husband. We're going to show you how to do that, because that's going to answer a question why, you know, you see some women, you know, and you say, can't imagine what they got going for them. You understand? You just can't hardly imagine what they got going for them. You know, I mean, and then they have some good-looking dude with them. You understand? You got education, money, and a BMW. You can't get nobody. Can't keep nobody. You understand? Well, honor is a thing. See? Brothers love to be honored. We want to be king. And if you want to be queen, make him your king. All right. Amen. We're going to deal it out fast. See, some of you women say, yeah, he's just saying that because he a man. The Bible. All right. Turn Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. You know, I'm going to tell it straight. I'm coming down to Brothers Avenue in a little bit. But you got to learn to honor your husband. Make him feel good. Find out what he needs. We're going to get into that. Finding out what he needs so he can feel good. Find out where he wants you to rub it. To make him feel good. What he wants you to say to him so he can feel honored. Amen. You need to know, you see. A lot of you don't know. You just guessing. See, I told Bridget what I needed. Amen. I told her what I need. Amen. All right, now, are you there in Proverbs chapter 5? All right, Proverbs chapter 5. Now look there with me in verse 18. It says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. let her be as the loving hind or doe and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. That means cut off the Playboy channel. Quit freaking out over them pictures. That's what that means. You won't get excited? Get excited with her body. All right, let's turn with me now. Let's look at another passage. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. We're looking at God's plan. See, God's plan, not for you to go out and find some whore to, you know, to freak out with. That ain't God's plan. Some of that freakish stuff you learn out in the world, you need to abandon that foolishness. She can satisfy you. That's right, she can. All right. Amen. Glory. Proverbs 18, look at verse 20, 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Look at your wife and say, you are a good thing. Come on, come on, look at her. That's what the Bible calls her a good thing, and the Bible says, when you married her, you walked into the favor of God. Because that is God's daughter you are married to. See, any man who takes my daughter as their wife, he steps into my favor. You got it? And ain't no favor like Big Daddy's favor. You understand? Yes, indeed. You understand? Now, think of that on a whole nother level. When you marry God's daughter, see, that's an adjustment in your thinking. That ain't your old lady. That's God's daughter. Amen. Amen. Sisters, look at your husband and say, you know, I'm God's baby. I'm God's daughter. Yeah, I'm God's daughter. Yes, I am. I'm God's daughter. Amen. That's who she is. So when you took on her, then you walked into the favor of God. And when you treat her right, God likes you even more. And God doesn't appreciate you slapping his daughter upside her head. God doesn't, I said, I'm going to go preach on these, didn't I? I said, I'm going to read them. God doesn't appreciate you using those mental games on his daughter. You know, those mental mind games we play, God doesn't appreciate that. That's his daughter. Proverbs 31. Amen. Proverbs 31. Just looking at God's plan. All right, Proverbs 31. All right. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So that's all right. If her price is, if you can buy her a diamond, she's above rubies. Buy the girl a diamond. You understand? Save that money. Get her a diamond. Do what you can do. Amen. Start where you can. The heart of a husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She'll do him what?
Good.
Her husband what? Trust her. Now, we're going to deal with you jealous husbands who can't stand for your wife to be out of sight. That's an emotional deficit you have. That is because you brought some garbage into your relationship based on your past experience. And we're going to deal with that because you brought some garbage in. Amen, amen. She means you're good. She's not your enemy. A lot of times you need, look at brother next to you and say, you need help. Amen. So you need help. We need help. And God has positioned them there to help us. She's not your enemy. Amen. All right, now, look at verse, while we're there in chapter 31, Look at verse 27. Verse 27. All right. But this was wisdom for us in our relationship. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, she looks after the household. Amen. She looks after the household. She looks after the household. You hear that, ladies? Look after the household. Taking care of the home. If you are not a working wife, don't look at the stories all day. Don't eat the bread of idleness. Edge of night as the world turns up. Don't eat that. Gossiping on the phone. Take care of the house. The husband ought to have to come in stepping over stuff. And you got your heels all rusty. Rag on your head. Old nasty dust on. Baby slung off your hip. McDonald wrappers on the table. Take care of your house. That's God's order for you to take care of the house. That's God's order. We ain't got no right to tell me. The Bible says that. All right, let's move on. Now turn to 1 Corinthians. All right, get ready to get interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, Christians are real squeamish when you get to talking about sex. But I'm just going to read the Bible. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to start with verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Now that means you ought to be satisfied sexually. Don't be so holy you can't have a good sex. Amen, amen, amen. Now I got a lesson on that too. I got a lesson on that. We laying foundation tonight, see? Well, I got a lesson on that. Now, you need to have, some of y'all can't talk about it right now because, you know, you don't know how to talk about it. But I'm going to show you how to talk about it. You need to know what pleases your husband. You've been blowing in his ear. You've been blowing in her ear. And that may be driving her up a wall. Stop. So, we got to, you know, you didn't want to hurt his feelings. So, he started blowing. And he think he really going to town when he see it. Back on this lesson. Come on now, come on. Verse 4. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except with it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not by commandment. Amen. So now I can see here clearly that he's saying now that there ought to be some sexual satisfaction in the home. Now let's move on to verse 10. It says, and to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Now, in a nutshell, because we don't have to deal with this in detail, but he's saying, look, if your marriage partner desires to have a marriage, whether they're born again or not, in many of your cases, both of y'all were unsaved when you got married. Now, you done got saved, and you holy and everything, and now you want to find what God's mate is. I need a holy man. No. Don't you think that just because a guy go to church that you're not going to have no problems with it. Amen. Now this is so awesome. God is then, he must be saying that you can be fulfilled in the marriage state with an unsaved husband. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell you to stay there. In that he tells you to stay there means that it is in the plan of God. He will give you grace so that you experience fulfillment even though your husband doesn't come to church, even though he may drink. Now, if he is not abusing you, you should stay. Well, every wife you get ain't your wife. You have to get the one, your wife the Lord wants you to have. You got the one right one, baby. You got the right husband, baby. You got the right one. The one you got is the right one. Look at the person next to you and say, the one you have is the right one. You have the right one. You got the right one. Baby. Ephesians chapter 5. Just looking at God's plan. Because now when we began to weave these scriptures into the teaching later, you're going to understand them much clearer. What we're going to do now is after we began to lay this, then our next lesson, we're going to start opening you up. We're going to do some heart surgery on you. Amen. Because see, the whole problem in marriage many times is your perception. And until your perception changes, then no matter what your mate does, you're going to always perceive it incorrectly. All right, now, Ephesians chapter 5, are you there? Ooh, watch this, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. Submitting yourselves how? One to another. Both of us submit. Both of us submit to each other. We both minister to each other. Submitting yourselves one to another. Now, that's the scripture that most folk don't like to read. All right? Then it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy, and that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. As their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ooh. That's serious. Because it says that it defines your love for yourself through the expression of your love for your wife. So when you look at a man's wife, how he treats his wife, you understand what a man thinks of himself. She is a reflection of you. Amen. All right. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. So you don't slap yourself in the face. She made me mad. Now you know where I'm going. The man in blue pulls you over, calls you a boy and a nigger. You don't slap him. He made you mad. You didn't square off on him. So don't tell me you can't control yourself, because you control yourself when he pulls you over. Amen, amen. All right. Well, First Timothy chapter 5. Oh, glory. First Timothy chapter 5. We're just about wrapping it up now with God's plan. So I'm going to show you God's plan. Then what we're going to do is we're going to look at what I did when I got married, because many of you didn't know. What have you done when you walked down that aisle and said, I do? Do you really know what happened? Verse 5:14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Guide the house, bear children, guide the house, bear children. Will of God. Guide the house. Obviously, she's a better guide than you may be. First Peter chapter 3. All right. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may be without the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation, that is, the lifestyle of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, that's reverence, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, that is, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Now, we're going to deal with the subjection matter. Not tonight, but we're going to deal with it. It is not bondage, you know, as such. You don't put your foot on your wife, all right? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, do well with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, partners together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. Finally, because this is one continuous thought here, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. Not rendering evil for evil. Railing for railing. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. It's saying somebody in the house got to have some sense. That's the Fifth Ward translation. You cannot have a good marriage if you have the attitude, I will if she will. Tip for tap. Somebody has to rise to the next level to say, I'm going to do what God says. And as I do what God says, now I'm out of the way. The Holy Spirit is now responsible for putting pressure on my mate. You tried all this time to put pressure on him and it hadn't worked. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit put that pressure on you, because I'm going to get out the way. I'm going to do what God says do. I'm going God's way, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit and God deal with you. Amen, amen, amen. So what happened when I stepped into marriage? What happened when I said I do? I stepped into a divinely ordained role that provides new levels of fulfillment in my life. Glory to God. You positioned yourself when you were married. You positioned yourself to experience the favor of God and grace of God reserved for husband and wife. God does a supernatural thing in your hearts when you get married. It's a miracle that he bonds your hearts together. The two become one. You took on a God-ordained task of living your life from that moment on for the benefit of another. Number 4, you became responsible to God and to your generation for the witness of the marriage covenant. In other words, in this generation, we are responsible with our marriage to show the world how it ought to be. Now, why is marriage not as fulfilling as you intended it to be, as you thought it would be? Look at the person next to you and ask them a question, if that's your mate. If that's your mate, look at them and ask them, do we have a problem? Don't answer now. Don't answer. Don't answer. Don't answer. I don't want you to answer. Don't answer. All right? Now, it's an intimidating question, but it's a question that you have to put on the table because you have to examine the real state of the relationship. You got to, at some point in time, you have to get real honest with yourself. Now, here's why your marriage may not be fulfilling. Because you entered into marriage with a misguided expectation. Why was it misguided? Because you saw some character flaws that you chose to overlook in courtship. Amen, amen. All right? Your marriage may not be as fulfilling because you have allowed unhappy others to magnify the imperfections in your mate. You've been hanging around folk who are unhappily married, allowing them to poison your mind about your mate. Ain't no man any good. Well, you a lie. You looking at one. And the house is full of good men. Ain't that right, brother?
Amen.
All right. Number three, your marriage may not be fulfilling because you lack the knowledge that you needed to build a good marriage. You didn't have the knowledge. You didn't know. Made mistakes because you didn't know. Damaged the merchandise because you didn't know. Number four, you and your mate brought extra baggage into the relationship that you did not have the wherewithal to handle. Amen. We all bring baggage in. Oh, glory. All right. Number five, you and your mate unintentionally allowed the romance and joy to leave your marriage. I said, how did we do that? The emotions that you have around a person, the dominant emotions that you have around a person for the most of the time you're around them, you begin to associate that with their faces. If you argue day in and day out and day in and day out, those negative emotions get attached to you subconsciously. So when you see the person, it triggers negative emotions. What are they going to argue about now? What is she going to say now? You allowed that to happen because you did not understand that you cannot deal with problems every day in your relationship. You have to have a way to manage how you deal with problems. And so little by little, the woman that you couldn't wait to get in the bed after the marriage ceremony. You make excuses now why you don't want to go to bed. Amen, amen, amen. You allowed the romance to leave. Now, I'm going to show you how to put it back. Amen. I'm going to show you how to get it back, because you can get it back, but you got to do what I tell you to do. You can get it back. All right? Number six, reason your marriage may not be as fulfilling as you thought it would be is because you and your mate defined commitment differently and discovered it a little late. Now, Philippians 4 and 11, Paul says that I've learned whatever state I'm in, that we're to be content. Until you find contentment, listen to me, until you find contentment in your present state, any other state that you migrate to or try to create will only hold for you short-term satisfaction. Don't you think that another husband is going to be your answer? Don't you think that another wife is going to be your answer? The same situation that you're dealing with now, you're going to have to deal with them in another situation. So you might as well handle the one you got. If I just had a better husband. No, babe. You got the right one. You just got to go to work. I just had a smarter wife. You know, I used to think Bridget was dumb. Everybody give me a boo. Give me a boo. Give me a boo. I take it. All right. Yeah, I used to think she was dumb. And I used to treat her like a child. But she was a bold woman. She knew she wasn't a child. She wasn't going to let that happen. Thank God she did. Thank God she didn't let me treat me. She didn't accept that. She fought every step of the way. I am not your daughter. Those are your daughters. Do you see them? Those are your daughters. I am not your daughter. Amen. Love that girl. Love that girl. Now, Paul said he learned to be content. I'm going to teach you how, in the state you're in, with all the bills you got, with everything like it is, I'm going to teach you how to find contentment there. Because the fruits of righteousness are sown in peace. And you got to have a contentment in the state that you're in before. You got to have that contentment there, right there, before you move to another state. Amen. You can have it. Right with the husband you with the situation you're in right now. Now, you must respect the principles of learning. Number one is instruction, communication of information at the level of the listener's comprehension. Number two, repetition. I'm going to repeat some things over and over. It's reviewing until learning begins to take place. You're going to have to take the tapes and listen to them over and over. Number three is study. That is intense focus on a subject matter for the sake of deep understanding. So in other words, when we give you some things to study, you're going to have to go home and read them, and you're going to have to focus in on them. Number four is example. Example is a distinct model of the applied information, and a distinct model of the applied information. Number five is a pattern, a systematic plan which produces the same results, the desired results, over and over and over again. And we're going to give you patterns. And then you arise to the place of skill, where you have skill. That is, you know what to do, and you just do it over and over again. Tonight, you must make a quality decision to have God's best in the state you're in, with the mate you have. You must know better is possible for you. Look at the person next to you and say, better is possible for you. Number two, you must know that forgiveness is critical to joy and happiness. We're going to teach you how to forgive. Some of you don't know how to forgive. Something happened when you first got married. You're still holding on to it. You're going to have to let that thing go. And we're going to show you how to let it go and get the pain of it released also. All right? Number three is you have to know you have the grace for the situation you are in. For the man you married to, the woman you married to, you have grace to handle that situation. Amen. Bridget has grace to live with me. I have grace to live with her. See, so don't ever look across somebody's fence and wish you had what you're looking at. You could only deal with that if you had the grace to. Don't ever, I'm serious, don't you ever let the devil put in your mind, oh, I wish I had husband like so-and-so. Without the grace to handle so-and-so, you're a nightmare on your heart. That's not a dream. Here's the thing, that when you get married, God gives you grace to handle your mate. See, Rhonda got the grace to handle Larry's imperfections. Larry's got the grace to handle her imperfections. Amen. Got the grace. All right? Here's the next thing. Know that change is a product of purposeful effort. We're going to give you some things that you have to do on purpose. All right? Know that divorce for you is no longer an option. Therefore, it cannot be discussed. Look at the person next to you and say, divorce is not an option. And then finally, God perfects all that concerns you. God perfects all that concerns you. Now, here is the test. I talk about making a quality decision. When I make a quality decision, it makes other subordinate decisions automatically for me. If you're going to really make a decision, I see y'all, we wall to wall tonight, right? Wall to wall tonight. This is the first night. If you really are going to make a decision to make it happen and make it work, you'll be here night after night. See, that makes that, when I married Bridget, that was a quality decision. Well, that took care of the other decision, whether I was going to work and provide. That decision, I don't have to think about that every day. You follow me? When I married her, the decision to work was already made. That's a part of the decision. That made that one quality decision took care of many more decisions. So when you make a decision that, look, you're going to have God's best, then you will be here. Even though some of you got to sit out in the lobby, some of you got to watch it on television. You got it? Then you'll do that because you'll put forth whatever effort you need to put forth to get God's best. Homework on your piece of paper. Now write some homework. Get the tape and listen to it at least twice before next week. Well, now the tape costs $10. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. Cheap, cheap, cheap. Do you really know what they sell tapes like this for in the world? Where's that girl? So where's that girl? Where's Eva? Where is it? Eva gave me a thing that she went to a seminar. What was that seminar, Eva? At the Summit. Seminar at the Summit. Now, how much was the admission? $2.25 at the door. Not $2.25. $225 at the door. And the tapes wasn't $4. Now, here's what you got to do. If you ain't got but $5, you find another couple that's got $5. And y'all get the tape together. Say, hey, look, y'all got to tell Wednesday, and we'll take it from Wednesday. Richard and I used to do that. First tape we got on Fred Price, another brother gave it to us. And this brother and his wife, their church was much bit larger than ours, and they could go to camp meeting, that sort of thing. We couldn't go. We didn't have the finances to go. So what we would do, we would give them money on the tapes. And say, when you come back, you know, we give them half of the money on the tapes. And when we come back, we share the tapes. Repetition is important. Because what that's going to do, that's going to help renew your mind. We already told you about the peace truce. You wrote that down, didn't you? All right. The next thing I'm going to give you tonight, I'm going to give you a confession. A confession for the husband, confession for the wife. I want you to confess every day what's on here. Every day you're going to confess. Leave your mate alone. Don't ask them, have you confessed? You done your confession today? Leave them alone. What'd I say? Leave them alone. Don't look at that confession card on the dresser and say, hey, you forgot your card. Leave them alone. Now, you're laughing, but I'm very serious. Because that's where you mess up. See, you're trying to do what only God can do. You just do your part. If he ties up his confession on the way home tonight, he can't tell me squat. Yeah, no, he just can't tell me nothing. Leave him alone. He's doing that to provoke you. Don't let him do it. That's all right, baby. That's right, baby. You don't want. That's okay, fine. Let me pick up the papers. Trash can. Throw this in the trash. If she tears her up, I ain't gonna come. I'm gonna keep us at home. What do you think I am? This is a new day. Leave her alone. All right. Here's your fourth homework. It's called the Good Virtue Report. Think of 5 good things about your mate. Write them down and bring them next week. Put them in your prayer journal. Some of y'all have your prayer journal. Put them in your prayer journal and look at them. I want you to bring them next week. I'm not going to look at them, but I want you to bring them. That's give you some accountability. 5 good things. Now, let me tell you. Now, brothers, I want y'all to get my skit ready. Y'all get my living lesson ready. All right? We're going to have a living lesson tonight. It's about 3 minutes, and you're going to enjoy it. Living lesson. Because I want you to write these 5 things down, and I want you to focus on them every day. Every day, I want you to look at them. Now, here's why. When you focus on what you don't have, you will never have enough. If you focus on what you do have, you will eventually see you have extreme abundance. Now, what you've allowed yourself, you've allowed your mate's deficits to be magnified. We got to reverse that. You got to find five good things. Now, they can be as intimate as you need them to be. You know, you might want to write, he is a good lover. And underline it and hyphen it and highlight it. Oh, glory. This is what the, this is, you understand? Five good things. Five. That's all. Five. Just five. Five good things about your wife. Got it? If she can really cook boiled eggs. Write that down. Boiled eggs. She know how to cook them boiled eggs. Five. Everybody say five. All right. Five good things. And you're going to keep them before your eyes. And you probably go, whole long list. Because you, really, that's how the devil destroys marriages. But I want you to start focusing on the good things. Got it? Are y'all ready with my lesson? My living lesson? Hello. All right, come on with my living lesson. And then we're going to be ready to go.